Triple M's Dead Set Legends is back.
The world is watching.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
And I thought I was a bit of a legend.
Triple M footy newsbreaker Jay Clark.
I might do this show nude.
And horse racing royalty Emma Friedman.
What's wrong with you two?
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
It is Triple M's Dead Set Legends talking sport for your Easter weekend on your Saturday. No, Emma Friedman, she is having your Easter weekend off, but 287 game St Kilda legend Joe Montagna still in the studio, and Herald Sun's Jay Clark. What's going on, boys?
Hello,
boys.
Morning, Rabs.
Happy,
morning, Jay.
Happy Easter. This is real danger time for me, to be honest, like around regards the waistline. I can make one of those bags of small Cadbury chocolate Easter eggs disappear, fellas, like nobody's business. So I've got to really steer clear. I'm on red alert this weekend.
Well, I should put it out on the record. I've started a little 30-day diet.
Have
because,
you?
Yeah, well, I just
bad
had
time.
A... Yeah, it is a bad time. Lucky I'm not really a massive chocolate man, so it won't faze me. But what happened is last week, our little man Noah was crook with gastro.
Yeah, I know.
Aaron and I survived and thought beautiful. Yep. But then Monday, Tuesday of this week, early in the week, we were both real crook. And I had a little moment to myself and I thought, that's it. I've just got to sharpen the body up here. Start feeling a bit better. Start looking a bit better. So I'm just on a little 30-day sort of detox, cut out the food. So
man shake?
I'm not going to do the man shake, so I'm just going to eat less and drink less for 30 days and just see, and then go for a bit more run. I went for a run around Albert Park Lake yesterday.
Yes.
It was a beautiful day. Good Friday. Well, just, I did the lake and the lap of the, what is it, 4.7K, plus a little bit extra from my house to there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, Joey.
Exactly right. Just chip away at it. But no, it is a lovely Easter and it's another nice weekend and brings back good memories for me, Easter, as a kid, because as an, obviously through my adult life, I was always playing football. Mm-hmm. So Easter doesn't exist in a footballer's world. It's just Fridays a normal day and the weekend. So I used to go to Stawell every year as a kid. We had a whole group of friends that used to go in the Stawell Caravan Park. Stawell Gift Weekend, of course. It's a shame that it's no longer the big event that it used to be, but one of my great memories as a kid is having the Easter egg hunt around the Stawell Caravan Park and then going to the Stawell Gift on a weekend. So, yeah, always good memories. What did you used to do for Easter? What did you do? Did you go away?
We didn't really have any traditions as kid, other than sort of a Easter egg hunt out in the backyard.
Yep.
So we got a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and 6-month-old. We'll do the Easter egg hunt out in the backyard, or the Easter bunny will.
Yes.
Tomorrow, it's fair to say. But we went away this week. We went down to around Venus Bay, Tarwin Lower. We actually stayed on a wind farm. Mm-hmm. We stayed in, apparently, so the house that we stayed in was 350 metres away from one of those massive wind turbines. Apparently, it was the closest house to a wind turbine in Australia.
Wow.
So,
that's,
you
pretty
know,
special.
We were super close.
Oh, wow.
Joey.
Kids
would have been excited
for that one.
Kids must have been beside themselves.
Well, there's been this big issue for the past 15 years about how noisy they are. People don't want these wind turbines built close to them. Apparently, they're so noisy.
Yeah, well, my grandma used to have one of those little wind chimer things near the window, and that used to make a lot of noise. So
well, no.
Not the same.
Nothing to do with it.
Right.
But they are whisper quiet. No, so, there was absolutely no drama. So, the one issue is, like, what if the big blade, and it's like 200 metres tall, what if it falls off? So we would have crushed
it. That was the challenge.
That was the issue. So there was that sort of fear factor to it all. But look, we had a great time down there, Venice Bay. Beautiful. Had a couple of days down there and a big weekend of footy, Ramsey.
Massive weekend of footy. Boys, what if I told you had to run 535 consecutive half marathons?
No one's
You've gone for one.
No
run.
One's ever done that ever.
Well, I'm gonna tell you someone has.
What?
His name's Matt Daniels. Jay went to school with him in Geelong. We're gonna chat to him in 20 minutes time. And after 11, Dale Finucane from the Melbourne Storm had a heartbreaking loss in the grand final rematch last night at Amy Park.
That was
just North Melbourne fans would be absolutely gutted this morning, fellas, wouldn't they? Because Good Friday footy is the North Melbourne grand final within a season. Like, they've been pumping this up for years. They've been trying to make it at home. And last night's performance, Joey, against Essendon, a team who's been up and down, was absolutely appalling. I know the footy club and the players would be absolutely devastated this morning. What was your take on their performance yesterday? Because it was... They just were out of it so early.
Yeah, they were. First of all, give credit to the crowd. Over 48,000. So that was the first concern that I think they can tick off on and say, well done. The fans came out to the game. Unfortunately, though, the team and the players let the fans down with their performance.
Yep.
I thought it was really disappointing. I just wonder, the Kangaroos' style. I mean, if you're going to try and play that shootout style of football against
what is their
Essendon,
style?
Well, they are one of the teams that are still trying to play fast football. They're one of the highest handball teams in the competition. Their defence isn't really a real strong press like a lot of the good teams that want to lock the ball in their front half. They're bottom three in the competition for tackles. They try and sort of zone off, which doesn't really work for them. It's not a high contested style of game.
So you got a question mark on the game plan?
I do, because I think what we're seeing in 2019 is that style, it's very flaky. You can win some games and play some exhilarating football. And now, Essendon probably fall into a similar category with that. And we've seen what happened to Essendon last year. They're going to play some great football, but then they're going to have some games where they get wiped away. They did that early this year. But you've also got to weigh up talent v talent. And I don't know whether Kangaroos thought if they played that style of football against Essendon, if they had the talent.
They don't have the speed.
They don't have the speed or the talent
skill
to beat Essendon in their own game under the roof at Etihad. So I do question whether the Kangaroo style is where football needs to be in 2019 to be competitive. And yep. I think there's enough evidence now after five games to say it's not. And you look at what other teams do, the way they're playing to give themselves a chance. It's why we're seeing the Gold Coast Suns win, St Kilda win. The Bulldogs are back, I think, playing some strong football. Other clubs that probably people thought would be down the bottom are now playing stronger and are competitive with the top teams
because
it's about system.
Yep.
You can't necessarily...
The dirty footy.
Dirty, well, it's just system. It's not dirty, it's system.
Mm-hmm.
System will always beat a team of talent.
Yep.
Well, they give themselves a chance against a team of talent. But if you just take on talent v talent, remember at the start of the year, Jay, everyone was saying there were five teams that were head and shoulders above everyone else. And we're saying Adelaide, Melbourne, Collingwood, West Coast, the Giants. But we're seeing this season's bearing very compact the ladder because system can always give yourself a chance against the talented teams. But Kangaroo's system for mine isn't quite as strong as most other teams in the competition. And it's why we're seeing some of those performances where they're just not competitive.
Certainly a big question mark, Joe. It's an interesting observation you make. Now, the elephant in the room's Brad Scott. This is his 10th year at the footy club. He's contracted to the end of next year, but it wouldn't surprise me if this footy club made a change. And that's not a knock on Brad Scott, but I remember doing an interview with him a few years ago, and he said one of his great mentors, Lee Matthews, said that about 10 years is enough for one coach at a footy club.
Right.
Now, Scotty was saying, you know, is that the right theory? I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a change. And if that did happen, then he would be snapped up by another football club without any doubt at all. I really rate Brad Scott because he's got a fair bit out of a list, which I think has been average. Because the big picture problem for North Melbourne, Joey, is they can't afford to go down because the crowds will drop off. They've tried to stay competitive, topping up. They box above their weight. Their weight class.
And that's an interesting debate, isn't it? As a fan, would you rather see your club trying to bring in extra talent, stay relevant, stay competitive year on year?
Yep.
Or take the soft option,
yep,
bottom out, get rid of all your senior players, go to get draft picks and say, oh, give us 5, 6, 7, 8 years to rebuild, give
yep
us a chance. I think you have to, I agree, commend Kangaroos for having that, the more gutsy approach
yep
to go and bring in Del Santo and other players to have a crack at a flag. And they got to a prelim.
Yep.
They got close.
They were leading West Coast at halftime.
That's right.
Yep.
And then this time around to go and bring in 4 experienced players and say, we're going to stay relevant. We're going to be competitive and be a top 8 team. Yeah, I've got to commend Kangaroos for that approach, but then you just wonder if you get caught in no man's land for a while.
That's where they are.
What's the issue?
That is the problem. Let's take a listen to Coach Brad Scott. Disappointed after the game, but urge fans to stick fat.
We made some significant changes to our list at the end of 2016, and it takes time. I mean, there are sides that have been rebuilding for 15 years. We were not delusional that we were going to bring in some players from other clubs, and it was just going to be a quick patch up of where we were at. I've said for 2 years we're trying to rebuild our midfield, and at the moment that midfield is far too reliant on Ben Cunnington and Sean Higgins. This club has, you know, for better or worse, it's fought its way through really tough situations, you know, and our players are bitterly disappointed, our coaches are bitterly disappointed, but now more than ever we need people to rally around the players.
He's talking about unity there. Joey, before we go to the break, and we'll talk the Bombers, the big Anzac Day coming
yes
up after the break. Just say North Melbourne end up with pick 2 or 3. What do they do? Do they trade that for more established talent, or do they go and get an elite youngster at the draft?
No, you've got to get elite. You've got to get elite youngsters. And that's
yep
probably the Kangaroos' knock a little bit, is how many players in their team you go, that's an elite young talent. I think Davies Uniacke will be one. Josh Simpkin probably still hasn't done enough for me. I think you've got it with your first picks. Go and get some elite talent. You can use other systems now with with trading and free agency and other ways, like Hawthorn have done, to try and get some other players into your club. But got to keep your early, draft pick and get an elite young talent. But yeah, he's spot on though. I think the Kangaroos have got some issues, especially with their age around their gun players. You know, Cunnington's not getting younger. Higgins is 31. Goldstein's over 30. Scott Thompson can't be there forever. So still got a bit of work to do, the Kangaroos. And unfortunately, it might be a long year for them this year.
That game last night helped raise a record amount of money for the Good Friday Appeal, though, over $18 million. Wow. So that's a big positive you can take out of that. Yep. And boys, Essendon's big win over North Melbourne last night set up a massive Anzac Day clash next week.
Well, flat on the Bombers after their first two losses. John Worsfold was under the pump, Joe, but it's fair to say the past 3 weeks, especially last week against Brisbane and again yesterday against North Melbourne, that midfield, which we've been pumping up all summer, I speak of Dylan Shiel, Zachy Merritt, Dyson Heppel, Orazio Fantasia, Jackie Stringer, they've got their groove back. They're flexing their midfield muscle. They're playing with skill and speed and moving the ball quickly.
Absolutely. The last 3 weeks, they're playing like a team. Why people put them in their top four, definitely in their top eights, and even some threw them up as a potential premiership contender because of the way they played last night. This is a team that has the talent. We've known that. It just needed to click. They've kicked 17, 17, and 20 goals in their last three matches of football. So they certainly are attacking. It sets up a great Anzac Day. Looking forward to it. You just got to put the caveat on those three games against Essendon. The last three games, though.
You're putting an asterisk on the Bombers.
I am, because
what is it?
They haven't faced strong defensive teams. So they played Melbourne, who we know have got defensive issues. We've seen some footage of it on the other shows and the things. They then played the Brisbane Lions, who again were exposed defensively by Collingwood Thursday night. They're not a great defensive team. And we just touched on the Kangaroos and their lack of defence at the moment. So the last three games have been awesome from Essendon. They have played well. And if you don't defend well, you'll get scored against the Bombers. So that sets up for beauty. If Collingwood, though, can defend strongly and just hold their shape and not let Essendon play through the corridor, the Pies might have the advantage because they were back to their best on Thursday night.
The Bombers should be able to defend too, though, shouldn't they? Because when I think of Hooker and Hurley, like, isn't that two of the best key defensive setups in the competition? Like, why is there such a knock on the Bombers defending?
Yeah, because when we talk about defense in AFL now, it's not just your six defenders. It's the whole team has to defend a ground of football.
But they can pressure.
Yeah, they can pressure. But if you're as attacking as they are, and I'm talking about Connor McKenna off halfback and Saad, or, you know, Shiel running off halfback and Merritt, that's all great. But when you have to defend, you're not necessarily in the best position to defend. So it's going to set up a great game. But I love watching Essendon in full flight. They were awesome. Anzac Day, there's going to be nearly, they have to be 90-plus thousand.
It's sold out.
Sold out, yeah, really.
Everything, yep.
Can't wait. It's so good when Anzac Day, when both teams are in form. Mm.
What did you make of the late call-up? There's a lot of, apparently, some snakes and ladders, some gamesmanship around Joey Danaher and the late call-up. You got any mail on what happened there, Joey?
Well, my understanding and speaking to people is that it was just a genuine, Zach Clark did come up with a bleed, whether it is a slight tear or a slight bleed in his calf, we're not sure, but he wasn't able to play after their main training session. Probably the next day, he pulled up sore. So Joe Danaher did think he was playing reserves and then got the call to be told that he'd come into the senior side. I take it on face value. I honestly believe that was the case. It was a risk, but they thought they needed the second ruck and they needed that extra tall forward. So they changed their plans, brought him in. It paid off for the time being. Let's hope, though, Joe Danaher has pulled up well and has to back up 5 days later, which is going to be the test, especially on that hard Etihad service or Marvel surface. But I take them on face value, and in the end, they got away with it.
Do you think that Essendon Collingwood should have the Anzac Day game every year? Like, as a St Kilda player, you would watch that game every year, enviously, jealousy.
Yep, but I think they should. It's their game. Yep. Anzac Day, and for, as an AFL lover, it's Collingwood Essendon Anzac Day. I think it has to stay that way. I understand maybe now Good Friday, they're trying to give other teams the opportunity to make it their own. But Anzac Day is the one that they, you know, started the concept. It's been so successful. Yes, you're jealous, but you know what? That's why players go to play for Collingwood. And they go. That's why Dylan Shiel chose Essendon. Yep. You know, that's part of the aura of those clubs. They get the big games. They put on a good show. They do it well. So good luck to them.
So why then has the AFL gone and stuffed it up by scheduling Birds of Tokyo, one of my favourite Australian rock acts, Rabsy? I know you're a big music man. They are outstanding, but they can play on any other day of the year. It is the height of stupidity to try and wreck something that is the most revered, respectful, most silent, most applauded build-up to a game in the whole AFL calendar. Why the AFL would go and schedule a rock band, no matter how respectfully they play, we just don't need it. This is days about the diggers, Joey.
Absolutely, I completely agree. I don't understand it. Is it, you know, the opportunity, I don't think it's the right time to do it. It's a poor decision. It hasn't been well received.
Nope.
So, yeah, strange one.
Why would they go, Ramsey, why would they go and try and add some glamour, some spunk to this game?
I can't give you an answer. No, it's not a day of celebration at all.
Yeah. So. And Eddie Maguire on Fox Footy yesterday, even he said, now, Ed can throw his sport behind an AFL decision like no one else, but when he says if it was up to him, he wouldn't have made the same call, that's when you know when there is flies on it. Now, they're going to go and give a respectful performance. We know that. But I just don't think in the minutes and in the hour, like 30 minutes before the game or whatever, we just don't need rock music blaring out across the MCG. This is a very respectful time where we all love the goosebumps and paying our respects. So, poor decision, AFL.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, on the line, we have a bloke by the name of Matt Daniels who's endeavouring to run 535 consecutive half marathons. That's a half marathon every day, boys. Matty, straight up, why are you doing this?
Why am I doing it? It's a good question. I get that a fair bit. So I'm doing it in memory of a guy called Andrew Caddy, and I read a book in 2015 called With Every Step and was really inspired by it. And basically, it's about Andrew Caddy, a guy who walked around Australia from 2010 to 2012. It took him about 18 months, and then he went over to Thailand following the inspirational walk, and he tragically lost his life over there. His dad, Neil, put together the book from the notes that Cat had put together during his epic walk around Australia. And that's a book that I read in 2015. Got really inspired to, I suppose, continue Cat's legacy. And that's what I did. I've done a couple of big events in 2016. I ran 55 marathons in 55 days and raised about $20,000 for Cat's cause, which is Leukemia Foundation. I did a 24-hour treadmill run later on that year. And then I set off on December 27th, 2017 to run 535 consecutive half marathons. And the reason behind the 535 days is that's the same amount of days it took Cad to walk around Australia. So I finish up on June 14th in 55 days from today.
Holy moly, Matty. So today you're up to, what, day 476. It's 21 kilometres every day. Just take us through then what happened this morning. So you've already done the run. When did you get up and where have you done it?
Yeah, so today was actually 480. So today's 480, which leaves, 55 to go. So
Jay's maths is not great. Sorry, Matty. He spent 15 minutes before the show trying to figure out how many days.
That's all good. So, yeah, today was 480. I actually headed down to Anglesey today, so I grew up down there. Headed down there with a couple of friends, Holly and Jack. So we just had a pretty cruisy run today. We started in Anglesey and headed off back towards Torquay. So along the cliff tops there, down along the beach. So it was a beautiful run. Got a couple of good photos and then a good breakfast all together at the end of the run. So these, Holly and Jack have been with me for a lot of the runs, especially on the weekend since I kicked off. So their support's been awesome. And today was a pretty cruisy one. But the majority of them I've done just around the Bowen River down here in Geelong. But to be honest, I'm sick to death of the river. So I'm trying to get out and mix it up a fair bit before I finish up in June.
That's what I was going to ask, Matt, because I went for nearly a 5K run the other day. And I got bored and I struggled. I thought, what do you do to get through with the runs every day? Do you listen to music? Do you have friends come along? But I suppose you've answered that question. But do you have any sort of things that you do during your runs each day to help get you through it?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously thinking about Andrew a lot, so I'm always inspired by Cad's legacy. I have been reading his books throughout the run, just being reminded of his epic journey, and always inspired by him. The support's been fantastic from family and friends and clients at the gym. Just listening to music, so music's been a big one, but and podcasts as well. Lately, podcasts have been a bit of a lifesaver, so I've been mixing up the podcasts and they've been helping me get through the run. So on the weekends is great. I've got a lot of support on the weekends as friends running, but during the week, it's usually just some music and some podcasts as well. So that's been really good and definitely helped.
You'd be listening to ours, wouldn't you, Matty? You'd be a big fan of the Dead Set Legends, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course.
Matty, is there any mornings where you've woken up and just gone, nah, I really can't be stuffed today?
Yeah, there definitely has been. Yeah, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't any. There's definitely been some mornings. I'm at the gym pretty early setting up our sessions at the gym. So, yeah, for sure, some mornings it's been hard. I've got a little one as well, Carter, so some nights he doesn't sleep great, so that's a bit of a struggle. But
Well, being able just to, once I get started, like anything, once you get out there and you get started, it becomes a bit easy. But there's definitely been some mornings it's been a bit of a struggle, but doing it for a great cause and, just chipping away at it now. So I'm on the home stretch now, which is good.
We're speaking to Matty Daniels, a good Geelong man who's running 535 consecutive half marathons. Any injuries, Matty? Like, you ever get sore or...?
No, not really. I've got a little bit of a stiff or sort of sore left Achilles that's sort of flared up in the last sort of 100 days or so. But other than that, I've been pretty lucky along the way. I haven't had any, no other real issues. A couple of days there, I was, you get sick with the flu and a bit of gastro. I had a car accident last year that wasn't ideal. But other than that, I've been pretty lucky throughout the course of the 480 days so far.
Matty, if people want to follow your journey, mate, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I've got a Facebook page set up called 535 for CAD, and basically since I started there every day, I've just been posting my time and obviously the distance just to prove that I'm getting the job done every day, and that's where you can find details about. I've got a big fundraising event on May 10th, so that's the 500th run. So down here at the Bowen Edge Boathouse down here, we've got a big fundraising dinner, lots of awesome silent auction items. We've got Craig Harper coming down to do a bit of a talk, and we've actually got CAD's parents, Neil and Chris, are coming down, so they're coming down to have a talk as well as the Leukemia Foundation as well. So that's going to be a great night. So I've got some details on the page there. So 535 for CAD is cool. It's on Facebook, and that's where I'm keeping everyone up to date with the journey so far.
Well, Matty, good luck with the rest of it, mate. Absolutely. It's a terrific cause, and it's a great effort, buddy.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the support, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Inspiring.
Very inspiring, mate.
Inspiring. Hey? I was getting tired listening to him talk.
It's a phenomenal achievement, isn't it? To get up and run 20Ks every day, Joey. But like,
for me, more so than the physical component, it's the mental toughness to be able to do that. Like he said, the
middle of winter.
Middle of winter every single day. That's mentally tough. And you got to, hats off to these people doing great causes. And well done, Matty Daniels.
His six-pack would be pretty good, Nick, wouldn't it?
Well, you'd think so. Good effort.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yes, it is the Saturday Scoreboard time as Joey just sets himself back up.
Got stuck under the chair. I couldn't get my headphones on. So I had to quickly try and pull the cord away. But anyway.
Plenty of scores and plenty of sport happening around the country.
Absolutely, Joey. And there's plenty of football happening. Of course, last night, Port Adelaide, unbelievably. Yep. We'll touch on that maybe in the second hour, Jay. Defeated West Coast, the reigning premiers, by 42 points for those that didn't see the game. Dominated from start to finish, Port Adelaide. It was unbelievable football. They took the game on all over West Coast.
And they show the blueprint to how to beat the reigning premiers. You know, when they knock off the reigning premier, the strategic blueprint. I'll ask you about that in the second hour.
Very good, Jay. You're very observant. They might have shown a weakness to the West Coast Eagles. And of course, Essendon, as we touched on, defeated a disappointing North Melbourne by 58 points in the Kick for the Kids game at Marvel yesterday. NRL, and we'll be chatting to Dale Finucane in the second hour. The Storm, their first loss of the season to the 2018 Premiers, the Sydney Roosters grand final rematch. It was an absolute belter.
You watched it?
I did watch it. It was 20-all, went to extra time, and Latrell Mitchell with a field goal got up. So we'll chat to Dale Finucane about the Storm's first loss.
Do you like the golden point thing?
I've got to have more of a thought about it because I know they're saying take away the golden point and make it first try.
Yep.
But then you're probably going to have more games end in a draw in extra time. So
I like it.
You don't mind it?
Go the miracle kick.
I like the miracle kick. It's good fun when they start having pot shots from halfway. Exactly. Trying to see who can be the first one to nail it.
We've all been there.
Yep, absolutely. And the other game, South Sydney Rabbitohs defeated the Canterbury Bulldogs 14-6. The Melbourne Rebels in the Super Rugby take on the New South Wales Waratahs tonight at the SCG. And there's plenty of NBA playoffs happening too, Jay. Currently a game, Toronto and Orlando in action. That series is tied at 1-1. Our Philadelphia 76ers took a 2-1 lead over Brooklyn. Ben Simmons, career playoff high, 31 points. He was on fire.
Didn't he?
Just responding to a little bit of sledging. They're getting into a bit of criticism, a bit of sledging going towards Ben Simmons. Brooklyn have been just trying to entice him to shoot and getting in his face. And
they don't rate his mid-range jump shot.
They think he's overrated a bit, but he stuck it up him yesterday. 31 points.
In that game, Jared Dudley was the one who was giving Ben Simmons a lot of stick.
So we're going to let him shoot threes, and he shot an air ball.
He shot an air ball, and Simmons just turned around to him with his arms out wide and just stared.
So shut your pie hole, Dudley. Yeah. Get back to it.
Maybe a couple of profanities in there as well.
And our boy, Andrew Bogut, he's now starting.
He's a big story.
He's now starting for the Golden State Warriors. Yep. in the playoffs, looking like he's on track to get another championship ring because Boogie Cousins has gone down
quad.
With a quad. Yep. Probably won't play again. I wouldn't have thought maybe with a quad. Yeah, it's one of those ones that you... Same as what, for people who haven't seen Boogie Cousins, it was like what Jared McVeigh did for the Sydney Swans, where he was just running, had a play, and then went down with his quad. But Andrew Bogut, now the starter for the Golden State Warriors, the top... title favourites.
He's become one of the biggest stories in the NBA, in a way, Andrew Bogut, because he got, everyone thought he was a bit washed up. No one offered him a chance at the end of last season. Plays well in the NBL, goes over there, 6 points, 14 rebounds, 14 rebounds, Joey, and 5 assists. We know he's a very good passing for a big man. He's playing a key role for them.
I was watching that game yesterday, Joey, and I said to my mate, 3 months ago, he was playing for the Sydney Kings.
Yep.
Now he's sitting on the bench, Game 3 of the playoffs, next to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is great. And then did you hear that yesterday in the broadcast, they referenced the NBL.
Yeah.
They said Andrew Bogut, the MVP in Australia, the NBL. Yeah. You know, he's come here fit. And so it is the talk about him coming from Australia straight over there.
However, Joey, are the Warriors vulnerable? The Clippers beat them. They come back from 31 points down. Like, we all thought they were sort of certainties.
Yep.
Are they, is there a chink in the armour?
Oh, I think there is. I think he can get in their heads.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, he gets caught up in too much byplay, people sledging him and getting in his face. He gets too caught up in it.
So who can beat them?
Well,
the Bucks.
It's a good question. The Rockets, but the Rockets, again, need to have everything go their way. They're going to have to shoot the lights out for 4 out of 7 games. And we've seen in previous seasons where they've been able to do it for 2 games, 3 games, but to shoot the lights out to beat Golden State, you need to do it for 4 out of 7. It's a tough ask. The best of 7 really helps the best teams.
The
because anyone can, you know, not fluke, but play really well 2 out of 3 games and cause an upset. But to do it 4 out of 7 is quite difficult. But we'll see how they go. And finally, the World Cup squad got announced on Monday.
Controversial.
Controversial. Pete Hanscom.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I'm disappointed for him because I would have loved to have seen him in there. He's getting married tomorrow to my cousin, Pete Hanscom.
So,
invite?
My brother got an invite. I didn't. So, not holding that against you, Pete, if you're listening, but playing favourites with the cousins. I think it's because my brother went to the engagement party and I couldn't make it because I was working. It's been held against me. But anyway, so Pete and Sarah, good luck to your wedding tomorrow, but he'll be disappointed he missed out in the World Cup squad, as did Josh Hazlewood in preference of probably Jason Berendorf.
That's just the Nash's thing, isn't it, for
just freshen him up?
Yeah, I think
he's probably not. And he's probably not the best one day. He's not suited to the one day style because he doesn't have much variety with his bowling. He just bowls line and length.
I think this is a World Cup squad that can win it.
Absolutely. Their confidence is back now.
Yep.
They went through that patch where they could not win. Now they've won 8 straight or whatever it is.
Yep.
They're playing with much more confidence. Having Warner and Smith back, don't underestimate the impact that'll have. Can't wait for the World Cup. Such good fun to watch.
What about Jimmy Pattinson getting a Cricket Australia contract as well?
Yeah,
how good is
great
that?
News.
Paddo's back.
Our boy?
Our boy is
Rush
back.
Our boy.
And hopefully he gets an Ashes squad name as well.
Joey, last week you got stuck into me over a preseason prediction I made. I said that the Gold Coast Suns would win less than 3 games. And hats off to Stewie Doo and all those guys because they've been very good. But in the next hour, I want to revisit one of our other discussions, which you might have written off someone who might be firing on all cylinders. But we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
I just want to revisit something. And also, I got a good pick one for you this week. This is where I try and give you a hard decision.
Yep.
I want you to pick one. Don't tell me the answer just yet. Who would you rather, right, at your footy club? Sam Walsh or Connor Rosie, who was outstanding again last night for Port Adelaide? I want to get that answer from you in a second.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
No, Emma, she's off for the Easter long weekend. We still have 287-game superstar from St Kilda, Lee Montagna and Jay Clark. Boys, footy mania on Triple M at the moment. Plenty of footy to talk about.
It's a footy festive, isn't it? There's what about 10 games in 11 days? Erin's loving it. My wife, she loves it. Like yesterday, spent the whole day on the couch.
My girlfriend left the country. She's gone to England.
Oh, beautiful timing.
You say you do it for work now.
That's what I do say.
Yes.
I say, darling, this is work. I need to know what's happening.
The strategy.
That's exactly right.
Good job.
It doesn't quite still work. But
speaking of, what did Port Adelaide do last night against West Coast? Because they knocked off the reigning premiers using a specific style, Joey. Explain it to us.
Specific style, but there's one underlying factor that in any win or to beat any great team, you need to be tough and put pressure on them. And Port Adelaide was certainly that. They were tougher and their pressure was enormous. But the way to try and exploit West Coast Eagles is you've got to play fast against them. You've got to go quick. Because if you play the game that suits their style, and we know about their kick mark, and you play a kicking game, they're so organised behind the ball. They're so good in the air. But their weakness, they're one of the worst teams in the competition at the ground ball in their defensive 50.
And really?
They're not quick. So Hearn's not quick. McGovern's not quick. Barras, you can get them with some speed. And Port Adelaide last night took the game on, even in those wet conditions. And their youngsters were awesome. Rosie and Dersma. Travis Boak, again, leading by example. But they went quick and they tested West Coast Eagles defenders. They couldn't keep up. They want the ball to be slow. West Coast midfielders normally corral them to the boundary. They know where the ball's getting kicked. Suits them all day. But I thought Port Adelaide played fast, got them out the back, played with speed, and really tested the West Coast Eagles. And I think that might be a blueprint going forward. It's easier said than done because West Coast are very capable of just slowing the game down, getting it on their terms, like what we saw in the grand final. If you remember the grand final against Collingwood, Collingwood's first five goals were all from fast play. Yeah, they were all out the back. There weren't any marks. It was Travis Varko, it was like DeGoey and Stevenson. So, yeah, it was the blueprint was there, and it was an awesome display from Port Adelaide last night.
The young man, Connor Rosie.
Oh, how good's he?
He is a serious athlete. He has wheels. He's got nice finishing skills. And I think, was he pick six?
Pick five.
Just before pick six, yep.
That's it, five before six. Just after St Kilda, sorry, too. Mate. St Kilda had pick four. And we took Max King.
Good on you. Mm. Yes, which will be one of those moments we'll reflect on. And
hopefully
assess.
It's not a Fiora Pavlich style scenario where Richmond took Fiora at pick three instead of Pavlich at pick four. Tambling instead of Franklin.
That twigs my memory because at the time you wanted St Kilda to go for
a midfielder.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm just worried about these 200 centimetre tall forwards.
Spearheads.
Spearheads. A hit and miss. They could be the next Nick Riewoldt.
You wanted him. You wanted the Saints to go Rosie.
I wanted Connor Rosie.
So, pick one. If you had to pick one player, Sam Walsh at Carlton, who's a running machine, he's going beautifully at the Blues, favourite for the Rising Star, or the man who has serious X factor, Connor Rosie. Right now, who would you take, Joey?
I think I'd still have to take Sam Walsh.
Oh.
Mate, that kid is unbelievable what he's done his first four games of football. I know Connor Rosie's a Jet, but Sam Walsh, wow.
What do you love about his game?
Oh, just everything about the way he plays. He's tough. He uses the ball well. He's composed. He's running. He's up there with the best in the competition.
Yep.
I mean, I think of when Joel Selwood came into the comp and how he was able to have an impact on his team straight away in 2007. Sam Walsh has got that written all over him. I think he's an absolute star. But to answer your question, I'll take Walsh, but you couldn't go wrong with either of those two boys.
Carlton has been a big talking point. They play the Western Bulldogs tomorrow at Marvel Stadium. Is the pressure, the discussion around Brendan Bolton, real or imagine, Joey? Do you think he'd be feeling the heat at the moment?
Yeah, I think he would because, unfortunately, it is a win-loss industry. But the bigger picture is Carlton are playing much better than they have. Now, the wins haven't come yet, and, of course, that is always going to create external noise. But they're playing a better system. They're playing better football. It will happen for them, just not yet. They've still got a bit to do. Their game plan is still a work in progress, and that's probably more what the pressure on Brendan Bolton will come from. Their effort, though, looks to be much better. I'm happy with how they're going. I know
they
everyone
get a tick, pass mark for the first.
They do get a pass mark. It would have been nice if they could have just stolen a win or two, but they're playing better football. The competition's it's a tough competition. It's not easy to get wins. They do need some for their own confidence because it can be self-fulfilling. Once you start winning, it becomes infectious. Yep. You feel confident. They just need to get the win, but I think they're going okay.
Didn't Chris Judd deliver the line of the week in media on Footy Classified on Monday night? Caro and Damo were doing a great job grilling him as the Carlton director.
Right.
And Caro asked him all, you know, what's going to happen? What's the future going to hold for Carlton? Yeah. And Juddy said, oh, I don't know. The only thing you can guarantee in your life is who your mother is. And I thought that was an absolute pearler. He's outstanding. It's an absolute masterclass from Juddy on Monday night.
Don't forget, after us, it's The Rub. And then the boys head over to the MCG for Melbourne versus St Kilda. Joey, did you think that your mob would be 3-1 to start this season?
No, I didn't, no. And they've surprised everyone. And they should be very proud of the way they're playing their football at the moment. They're just having a crack. They're talking about system earlier, Jay. They're just defending really strongly. They're playing a great system of football that's giving them a chance in every game.
What does that mean, Joey?
Well, just behind the ball, just defensively.
Safer?
No, well, safer with the football and defensively just really sound. which means they're hard to score against. They give themselves opportunities, and they're in every game. And that's all you want to see. They're not relying on a style where it's talent v talent, and they're just trying to play a style that maybe St Kilda did a bit too much of last year, trying to go fast,
reckless,
trying to score. If it doesn't work, you get scored against. They're playing a much more safe, controlled game with the ball, but defending really strongly, applying a lot of pressure and cracking in, and the results are working.
I'm fascinated by this game this afternoon. You'll hear it on Triple M from 4:30, Rabsy, because I think it's one of the great unspoken rivalries in the AFL. And Caro's written about it in The Age today. Hit the nail on the head. Melbourne and St Kilda, both down the bottom of the ladder at the same time and both rebuilt at the same time. And they sort of took some slightly different strategy. Melbourne went to the draft, got some high picks. St Kilda have topped up with a bit more established talent, or certainly did back in the day, Joey. And I remember Danny Frawley saying after St Kilda beat Melbourne in 2016 that Melbourne players got ahead of themselves or get ahead of themselves. One of the two. There was some talk about finals. He thought it was a bit premature, etc. There were big comments from Danny, who I think was working at St Kilda as a backline coach at the time. You were out there playing throughout that period. Was there ever any extra pepper and spice to the Melbourne St Kilda matchup?
A little bit, because there is this rivalry, I think, unspoken about the two sides rebuilding at the same time. The young talent, bit of the comparisons with some of the St Kilda young draft picks and the Melbourne young draft picks. And there has just been that rivalry because you sort of want to outdo each other. And then Melbourne probably got, you know, the jump on St Kilda and sort of thought they were progressing a bit quicker.
Yes.
And we know Melbourne have a tendency, and they have for a long time, just to get a bit chirpy and get quite happy with themselves at times. And I reckon there's been a little bit on the field. And if you remember Tom Bug a few years ago having a bit of a cheap shot at Nick Riewoldt.
What happened there again?
Well, he elbowed him in the back from behind, gave Rui whiplash.
As he was on
towards the boundary line. There was a bit of lip in that game.
That
so I think
would
it's
not
just
have gone well, down well. Like, you guys revere Rui on the field, don't you? You wouldn't have been happy with that.
Yeah, no. And it's just I think, just a little bit of rivalry, but not anything specific other than just they don't really quite like each other. And even last year when Melbourne thought they were travelling pretty well, St Kilda was struggling around 15. Saints went to the MCG and caused a boil over, beat them by 2 points. And there is a bit of extra feeling in this game between these two sides. They don't like each other, or St Kilda don't really like Melbourne.
Yep.
So it all sets up for a beauty this afternoon.
And I think in late 2017, Melbourne were headed towards finals and they lost to the Saints, lost to you guys, and then lost to Collingwood round 23.
Right.
I think they missed out on a percentage of a finals berth just. Anyway, so there is definitely some feeling there. So from a St Kilda perspective, what have they got to do to stop Melbourne? Because we know they are an excellent centre clearance team.
Yep.
Centre square
team. And it's about their contested ball, Melbourne. We know their whole game comes off the back of their contested ball. Once they get the ball in the contest and get it forward, they're generally hard to stop. So it's going to be Max Gawn. That's the big issue for St Kilda today. Young Rowan Marshall's been excellent.
Yep.
But he's undersized and he's going to have his work cut out against Max Gawn and Proust. So they're going to have to come up with a system, St Kilda, or combat the clearance work. Probably have to put an extra player in the stoppage, set up to lose, but actually have a plan. And if they can nullify Melbourne's dominance with Gawn in the ruck, then St Kilda are a huge chance. Because as I said, they're very confident the way they're defending at the moment. They'll be in any game of football.
Jack Billings has been a maligned player at the St Kilda Football Club. Well, certainly externally, I think pick three player, we've been waiting for him to really kick on. I saw him up close against Hawthorn last week, particularly in that last quarter. He was outstanding.
Yep.
Are you seeing this man mature? Or
yes.
What is he doing to take that next step in his footy career?
He's maturing, and I think that he realised at the end of last season to add to his game, because he's got the talent, he's got the footy smarts, he's got the work ethic. He just needed to add a little bit more mongrel. A little bit more mongrel to his football. All the very good footballers have got a bit of a strut, don't they? They've got a bit of
toughness,
something about them. And Jack Billings is finding that, I think. And it's tough playing on a wing to do that. But at the right times, he's influencing games. He's being more consistent by being able to play up on the wing. And I think we're starting to see the best of him. I also think he's got another level to go to with using a bit more of his talents rather than just sort of accumulating disposals and using it nicely. But he's certainly starting to find his best football.
Can he be Andrew Gaff? Because Andrew Gaff built that contested side of his game and then went inside for West Coast, added that tool. Can Jack, is Will Jack Billings be an outside player for his whole career, or can he develop that contested game and come inside?
Well, you can always develop your contested game, but it's certainly not his strength. Yep. His strength, like Gaff, it's his run, his ball use, and it's finding it 30 times. Mm. The other guys that can play inside, bigger bodies, better with their sort of in-hand, tight handball. But now Jack Billings coming along nicely, and he's going to have an important role to play today.
Who are you tipping? St Kilda, Melbourne.
Oh, I have tipped Melbourne because of the Max Gawn dominance. That's the only thing that concerns me, is that his dominance. I think the second half against Sydney last week, Melbourne have figured out, okay, we can't be so predictable with our hits.
Yep.
We need to mix it up because teams are going to set up for us to win the hits. So I'm just worried about Max Gawn dominance.
Rowan Marshall has been good in the last few weeks for you, Mob, as well. You can hear that live on Triple M, part of Footy Mania, after GWS and Freo, and then following that, Sydney versus Richmond at Marvel Stadium. Switching codes, the Melbourne Storm lost their first game in 2019, going down 21-20 to the Sydney Roosters last night. A man who played 100th game for the club, Dale Finucane's on the phone. Dale, are the Roosters the team to beat in 2019?
Yeah, I think they're the benchmark. They're obviously the reigning premiers as it stands at the moment, and they were obviously very quality last night. They got away to a really good start on us and put 20 points on in the first half. So definitely the team to beat, I think, in the competition so far.
Take us inside the camp when you are 20-0 down, Dale. I presume it's Cameron Smith when you all huddle up after that try. What's said? What can you try and do, to wrestle back momentum like you did late in the first half and then into the second half?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is probably not getting into a frenzy and thinking that we need to chase points. Obviously, we've still got, the second half to get back into the game. So I think if we change our mentality and the way that we play and gear that towards trying to chase points, then we're probably not going to have success. I think it's really about getting back into the grind and doing what works well for us.
And is it Cameron Smith that drives that? Because we see him from the outside as that inspirational leader, or do you all have that chat amongst yourselves? How does that conversation unfold out on the field before you get to halftime?
Yeah, it's mostly the calm head of Cam. Obviously, when they scored their tries, we address... So, what's gone on specifically in that play and why they've scored the try. And then, obviously, once we go to the kickoff, we sort of know what we have to do in the ensuing set. So, it's mainly driven by Cameron, and obviously comes out, messages out on from the bench as well, from Craig in the box. But Cam's really good at driving that amongst the team.
Hey, Dale, I want to ask you about last year's grand final. You were one of Storm's better players in that game, but I was mesmerised by Cooper Cronk. I thought he was one of the best sports stories of the year to play in that grand final with a busted shoulder, hardly touch the ball, but be so influential. Now, from a Storm point of view, as that game evolved, did you feel his influence on the match in the way that he organised and shifted and basically controlled the Roosters despite not touching the ball or hardly touching it?
Yeah, it's obviously good having Cooper. It was good having Cooper out there for the Roosters in terms of his leadership and the way that he does steer their boys around the field. And obviously Luke Keary on that night was really good in taking on the duties of most of the ball playing and most of the kicking in that night as well. But I think one of the main things from that night in that game was, I think, how well that the Roosters did kick. They were really good at bombing our wingers and our fullback, and their kick chase line was really good at getting down to meet our outside back. So I think that was one of the major things on the night, where they really started with high energy, and that was, I guess, the theme for how they started the game. And I guess it's tough to come back from that.
Changing the Melbourne Storm start, Dale Finucane. And then, Dale, there was a bit of spite in last night's game. It was very physical contest. Was there a little bit of pride for you boys? You wanted to get one back on the Roosters, but certainly how physical was that game last night and spiteful?
Yeah, I don't think it's any sort of anything in terms of redemption for a grand final. I think we obviously want to start our year well and do as best we can for that. Obviously, both teams have players who moved on from those teams and new guys come in. So I don't feel like it was a redemption game in terms of the grand final. But, yeah, there was some moments in the game last night where things got a little bit heated and there was a few scuffles. But I guess once we come off the field, all that's left on the field.
And Dale, you're a gun guitarist. Great story from Gilbert Gardner in the Herald Sun a couple of weeks ago. Hey, you just like to jam and pluck away to you. Sort of, after a tough loss like last night, so you sort of pick up the guitar today, mate, just to sort of, soothe things.
Yeah, that's obviously I've reviewed the game a little bit myself in just sort of obviously watching the game back. But yeah, it's something I enjoy away from rugby league, and I think it gives me a little bit of balance. And I think everyone sort of needs something away from the game, whether it's study or whether it's something else away from the game. That's just something that I enjoy to sort of get my head out of football for a little bit. And it's, as I said, something I really enjoy.
Will the Storm take on the New Zealand Warriors next Thursday in their traditional Anzac Day clash at Amy Park? You can grab your tickets at tickets.nrl.com. Dale, good luck for the rest of the season, mate.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Dale Finucane there. And how good Anzac Day. You can go to Collingwood Essendon, and then the Storm game will be on after that. So I know a lot of people, Collingwood and Essendon fans, do the double up, go to the G, and then go across to Amy Park. It's a great day, Anzac Day. They do it really well, the Storm and the Warriors. So that'll be an absolute beauty.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Jay, we made some pre-season predictions. You want to back over one?
Well, I do, because you gave me a little clip last week, Joey, about how...
And then a hug. I gave you a clip and then a hug.
We're tight here. We have some robust conversations. But after I said that I thought Tom Lynch would win the Coleman medal, part of our Herald Sun pre-season predictions as well, but you gave me a sort of bit of a clip. Oh, what about you picking Tom Lynch, you know, his first year at Tigerland? Surely Jack Riewoldt will kick more goals. I'm just having a look at the Coleman medal leaderboard.
Sure I said that?
That's exactly what you said, Joe. I'm just looking at the Coleman medal leaderboard. Now we've got Jeremy Cameron on 17 goals, having a fine season. In second, Tom J. Lynch from the Tigers on 16 goals. Now, Jack Riewoldt's been out injured for a little bit, I know, but he prepared to eat humble pie on Tom Lynch and just give the great man a little bit more respect for his performance because he's stepping
in
his new club.
No.
What?
Certainly not.
Why?
Because the conversation was more steered around him being one of the best players in the competition. Tom Lynch is going to rip the competition apart now that he's at a good club. And I pointed out his numbers at Gold Coast and how they weren't that great.
Well, he led the competition for contested marks.
1 year he did. Yeah, 1 year. Yeah.
John Brown, Dermot Brereton said he'd be the number one player.
Exactly, and that's what you were hanging your hat off. But I was saying, when is he going to be the best player in the competition? He's 26 years old.
Yep.
And I think it's fair to say, yes, he's kicked 16 goals. So you've kicked the goals. But
you're
and he kicked six last week.
Joe
but I don't think he's played well very at all. His best game was last week. But even those six goals, I don't think was a great six-goal performance. He got given a free one.
You reckon he's getting easy ones?
He got given...
Over the top.
He's kicked a lot of over-the-top goals. He's got a lot of, at the moment, a lot of the goals out the back. In his four games, he's averaging 9 disposals. He's taken less than 3 marks a game. He's laid 1 tackle a game. And I think out of his 16 goals, I would say 10 of them have been relatively out the back. They've been sort of... He hasn't played a strong, really strong game yet. Even last week was a good... He kicked 6 goals. Give him credit. But I certainly don't think he's showing that the talk, like you said, that he's the number one player in the game.
Well,
that's what I was more sticking. I've always said he's a very good player. I mean, you can't deny that. I was defending that. I don't think he's anywhere near being one of the best players in the game.
You think?
And
he's
even his 16 goals, I think he's getting a lot of bit of Josh Jenkins about him at the moment. Just have a look at his goals, and you tell me how many sort of big, strong marks and going back and kicking a goal. Saw Wayne Carey out there, and I just wanted to
say?
He said, look, he's kicked 16 goals, but they haven't been the flashiest 16 goals. But the thing is, too, he had an underdone preseason, so he's still got room to move.
That's right.
But
imagine when
this bloke... it'll be interesting to see when Jack Riewoldt comes back in.
When Tommy Lynch gets a full preseason under his belt, he had the knee surgery last year, he's adjusting to his new club. I'll tell you what, I reckon Richmond fans driving in their cars right now will be very happy with what they've seen from Tom Lynch very early on. Geelong Hawthorn is one of the... highlights on the footy calendar each year, Joey, but I'm worried about the Hawks on Monday. In fact, I think the Cats are an absolute certainty because you look at this Hawthorn midfield. Yes, Jagro Mira is stepping back in after missing last week, but they are a depleted bunch. And when you take James Frawley out of the back half as well, missing with a hamstring, Ben Stratton will come back in off a concussion. I think Geelong, after a surprise loss to GWS last weekend, I think their bounce going to bounce back and we're going to see them flex their midfield muscle. This is going to be a 6-goal win to the Cats, Joey.
Jay, we can never ride off Hawthorn. We've learnt that for years now. Every time, you know, I agree. I think Geelong should win. Absolutely. With the team that they've got on the park, the midfield will bounce back after they got comprehensively beaten by the Giants last week. But you can't underestimate Hawthorn. Clarko comes up with something. And not only that, Hawks are one of the best pressure teams in the comp, which doesn't rely on talent.
Yep.
They're one of the best intercept marks because of that pressure around the ball. They force the high balls and then Sicily and Stratton and these boys take their intercept marks. It's going to be close. We know that. These Easter Monday games
are... Nah, it's a myth. That's a myth.
That they're close games.
Let me stop you right there. Right, but you're going back to the Kenneth curse.
Yep.
Because I was looking at this throughout the week between 2014 and 2017, there were six games, and the average winning margin for both sides was six goals. There was a 36-point win, 62-point win, 36-point
win. And who's
win,
won? Who's won more?
86-point win.
Who's won more out of those teams?
It was a little shed. It was.
It's
a little
an even
shed.
Split. Well, that's my point. It's an even split.
But they're not always close.
No, but what I meant was it's an even split in that you don't know which team is going to win. It's like an Anzac Day or a showdown. It doesn't matter the form that the teams are in.
Yep.
They always seem to step up for this day. So I know that Geelong should win, but you can't ride off Hawthorn because their pressure around the ball is underrated and it takes no talent.
In the other game this afternoon, you heard it on Triple M, a Fremantle take on GWS. Matty DeBoer going for his third straight scalp. Paddy Dangerfield, Dustin Martin. You'd think he'd go to Nat Fyfe.
I would have thought so.
Today. How does Nat Fyfe beat the tag?
As certain as knowing who your mother is, as Chris Judd would say, that DeBoer is going to go to Fyfe.
Exactly.
I think Fyfe has to push forward on DeBoer, try and outmark him in the air, test his defensive ability. I mean, DeBoer's a great tagger, but obviously he doesn't have the size of Fyfe. So I'd like to see Fyfe push forward, around, go to the stoppages, because that's where Fyfe's at his best. But then in general play, drift forward, take some pack marks, and help Freo kick some goals, kick a big score.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Joey, this is where we take aim at someone or something who just needs the lift generally. What you got today?
Well, I'm getting annoyed. I want to give me a spell to some of these journalists and some other people out there that are saying that players are deliberately breaching the 666 rule.
Yes.
Now, I know that no one has done it deliberately yet so far. But stop saying the players are deliberately sneaking forward and trying to get an unfair advantage, or they want to get the umpire to stop the game so they go back to their position and look like an idiot on the field so they can throw the ball up. It's hogwash. They're just getting confused late in games, because late in games, when they're needing to try and figure out either ways to save the game, win the game, it's still taking some time to figure out. No one is doing it deliberately. No one, if you watch those players that have been caught, they haven't, oh, you got me, I'll go back to my position. They're all just being confused. So I'm sick of the journalists that trying to cover the conspiracy theories that these players are deliberately breaking the rules with the 666. They're not. They just haven't got in the right positions.
You're a smart man, right?
Yeah.
What if it's round 23? You're playing for St Kilda. You're trying to protect a 5-point lead.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
With 30 seconds to go. Would you be tempted to say to your wingman or your half forward flanker, just try and sneak one pass. Go back. Play as the extra man in defence.
So the umpire, what, just in case the umpire doesn't see you?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't. I'd just start on the point of the square. As soon as the ball gets thrown up, your two wingers run straight inside defensive 50 and you're there anyway. Okay. I think it's hogwash.
Okay.
I think it's trying to create a bit of extra excitement, a bit of conspiracy theory that I don't like. Give me a spell. It hasn't happened.
Hey, I'm not sure if this is harsh against the cafe owners or not, but This public holiday surcharge.
Oh.
You know, you get charged an extra 40 cents for your coffee, or an extra $2 for your smashed avocado. Or is that necessary, Joey?
No, it's not.
I think they just absorb the costs. Like, I don't think we need to single out the good, the public holiday surcharge. I think it just becomes part of your yearly bottom line.
Because I
always feel like I'm taking an extra hit to the pocket on the public holidays.
Good
Give
point.
Me a spell,
Give me
cafe
a spell.
Owners.
Give me a spell.
I just think just absorb the cost and just charge something a little bit more expensively. Hey, just lighten things up, can
Rab's
you?
Got one.
Rabs, have you got one?
Yeah, I've got a little one. Just the train works. There's no trains.
Oh,
so we're going to Richmond-Sydney game at Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
It's gone from getting on at Windsor, getting off at Southern Cross and walking straight over the bridge to now having to get a bus to Maribyrnong and then another bus. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it's really annoying. I get it's for a good cause, but come on. Give us a spell. It is time for this now, boys.
Yep.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
Yes, last week it was Winx that was our Dead Set Legend, and she didn't let us down. Apologies this week to the great Tiger Woods for not getting Dead Set Legend of the Week. It's probably a bit old news now, but how good was that?
It's one
of the greatest sporting stories of all time. But I want to give it to my little mate Eddie Betts.
Oh, yes.
300 games this weekend. He has been an absolute star for two clubs. And what I love most about Eddie Betts, he's a ripping fella off the field.
Great fella.
He's an unbelievable footballer, but he brings pure joy and happiness to watch him play. In a game now, Jane, where we speak about it with system and tactics and stifleness, Eddie Betts has always defied that and just put on a highlights reel for the ages. He's a class player. Some of his goals are unbelievable. So congratulations, Eddie Betts, Dead Set Legend of the Week, 300th game, up there with some of the great Indigenous players of all time to play 300. So well done, Eddie.
Pick one. Grand final tomorrow. Cyril Rioli or Eddie Betts, Joey?
do that. We're just giving Eddie to pick one tomorrow. For grand final day. Oh, well, Cyril at his peak for grand finals. You can't go past him. But for a highlights reel, Milne and Betts have got the two greatest highlight reels that I've seen in football. So well done.
We got a quick tip.
Today, race one at Caulfield. It's on at 12:15, ooh, early. Ooh. Start the day off by the Easter presents. Race one, number three, Grey Shadow. First up from a spell. Money's come for it. It's ready to win.
Just quickly, Jay, we can hear you today doing the game from the MCG.
4:30, yep, Melbourne St Kilda.
And I'll be calling the Richmond-Sydney game tonight at Marvel. Can't wait.